And welcome to this extra call from the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability on July the 30th. We reconvene for another meeting after a four-hour break and on the way to finalizing our second public comment report. We will have on the agenda today the one of the outstanding issues, which we haven't had time to cover in the previous call, which is on the voting weights. We will then review the previous call discussions to ensure we have clarity and agreement. Then we'll go over the proposals for graphics to accompany our report and address some procedural issues in the end. And may I ask if any of the participants or members are only on the phone line and not on the AC room right now so that we can add them to the roll call, please?
This is Sam Reisner. I'm only on the phone now, but I'll be on later on a business
call. Okay, Rosemary.
And I'm now
in the room.
Okay, I've heard another voice other than Rosemary.
Aikman,
that was Sam. Okay, thank you, David. So noting
Mathieu.
Sam as well.
Mathieu?
Tijani?
Yes, Tijani.
And Tijani as well. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, and so without just a last reminder, you have in the notes a link where you can find all the latest versions of the documents that have been circulated on the list for your reference during the various discussions, and that's where you will find the documents that we'll use in the AC room for those of you who are in the AC room. And without further ado, I would like to turn to Thomas for the next agenda item. Noting that we have apologies from Liam Sanchez, our third co-chair. He couldn't join for this meeting, so don't be surprised if you don't hear his soothing voice during this call. I've seen a hand raised from Malcolm. Can you please?
Yes, it's a point of order on your last comment about us having seen all the documents. The wiki still does not include the Section 4 report from WP2 on the IRP. I've just emailed the mailing list about 20 minutes ago, pointing this out and giving a link to where Becky forwarded the final agreed WP2 text to the mailing list, to the WP2 mailing list. But it needs to be added. What's listed on the wiki is just an internal checklist. It's not the language that Becky forwarded it to us and that we agreed.
Thank you, Malcolm. Our intention is to discuss the IRP documents when we reach to item 3 of the agenda. And so your point is well taken, and we'll come back to this later in the call. Thank you very much for
that. Certainly, but that wasn't a substance point. It was about your point about documents being circulated. Okay.
Yeah. And with that, Thomas, I'm turning to you.
Thanks very much, Leon, and welcome back, everyone. The second agenda item deals with voting weights. And you will have seen communication on the mailing list, according to which we advise to go back to what we had included in our reference model, because the allocation of 5 votes in favor of ESSEC and RSEC would create certain difficulties, particularly when it comes to exercising community powers such as the removal of the board, and then the votes of ESSEC and RSEC, should at some future point in time they wish to vote, would lead to a situation where a board spill could be prevented by those two groups. We have reached out to both ESSEC and RSEC, and they have agreed to proceed on the basis of what had been discussed earlier, i.e. the proposal that we had included in our first public comment. Therefore, we would very much like to present to the group the proposal to proceed on the basis of 5x5 plus 2x2, i.e. all groups except for ASEC and RSEC would be equipped with 5 votes, and ASEC and RSEC would each be equipped with 2 votes. Again, this proposal has been confirmed as to be okay by both these groups. We still do not know how exactly the GAC will position itself, but to be perfectly clear on that, we have 5 votes for the GAC in the system. I'm not sure whether this is an old hand or a new hand, Malcolm. Malcolm, is that a new hand? If so, please do speak up.
Sorry, it's old.
So that was obviously an old hand. Can I then ask for any opposition to us proceeding with 5x5 and 2x2? And I see that Robin has raised her hand. Robin.
Hi, this is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Okay, first let me apologize for all this construction that's going on outside my window. They just decided to tear up the street just before this call started. Anyway, so on the issue of voting weight, I would like to file a dissenting opinion on this, and I would like to propose something along the lines of what Matthew suggested in the email list yesterday, along the lines of the board composition. So let me just post here in the chat what I'm talking about. So basically a ratio of 2GNSO, 2CCNSO, 2ASO, 1ALAC, and then liaison roles for the GAC, the RSAC, and the SAC. So I had floated this earlier a few months ago and wanted to bring it back to the attention of the group and note that I wanted to be filing a dissenting opinion or minority opinion. I'm not sure what exactly the correct language is to make sure that we get some public comment on this issue and have this proposal considered as one of the proposals that is before the group. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Robin. And before we move on with the others waiting patiently in the queue, let me just say that the mechanics of how we're going to operate now are that we take the results of the first public comment period as the basis for our discussions. And you will remember that the voting weights that we presented to the community already got quite some traction, which is why we would now look at alternative models, including the one that you suggest, Robin, and have them tested in the group. So if there is sufficient traction for an alternative proposal to make its way in this group, we will keep that as the new reference model for our report. In case there is not sufficient traction for an alternative model, we will continue to work on the basis of what we had in our first public comment report. And with that, I'd like to turn to Sebastian.
Thank you very much, Sebastian Bachelet. I just want to remind everybody that the ALAC review report suggests 2 voting board members for ALAC at large, and that was a decision of the board at that time to just allow 1. Then if we want to enter in this type of discussion, we can. But I think the way you propose, Thomas, is the best one to go, and I think we need to keep with what we had on the previous comment period, even if my personal thinking was to have something change, but I...
Okay, Sebastian, thank you very much for that. Next is Kabuz.
I don't know what can I say. I have told what I should told in the chat. We would not be in a position to agree on any new idea at 2 o'clock in the morning on the last day before freezing the documents. 29 was what we have agreed, and we come back that to many, many times, made many alternatives, many suggestions. It is not clear at this moment that what are the rationale for any of these proposals. Please kindly go back to what we have agreed in the first reference model, and that is 29, pending the announcement of GAC, ERSAC, and ESAC, whether they participate or not. 29, and we do not go to ALAC. It is impossible to listen to what somebody calling that ALAC should have too, and I don't understand why. I don't understand all of these discussions. We have no time to do that, and it is totally counterproductive. This is counterproductive. Please kindly take it as it was, 29, and go ahead with that and put it to the consensus. Thank you.
Thanks, Kabuz. That is exactly our intention. Nonetheless, we think it's been a good working approach in our group to test with the whole group whether new proposals get sufficient support so that the whole group can change its mind. So we are now testing alternative suggestions in order to make sure that all of them had equal chance to be considered and supported by the whole group. But it seems to be, or it is very likely, that after we close the queue after Greg, we will do a straw poll on the alternative proposal, and if that doesn't reach sufficient traction, it will stay exactly with the reference model that obviously you seem to support. Let's now move to Olga, and as said, I'm going to close the queue after Greg.
Thank you, Tom. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Thank you, Tom. This is Olga Cavalli from the government of Argentina. I would like to support the idea of having 5 votes for the GAC. The GAC is discussing internally which way to proceed as a whole, but the government of Argentina does not support any liaison role of the GAC in any ICANN structure. We want the same role as the other SOs and ACs. This is the position of our government, and we support the 5 votes for the GAC. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Olga. So you would also be in favor of what we had in our previous report in terms of voting weights. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Helen.
Thank you very much. I could speak on length on this, and I won't. Given that the ALAC is the only organizational part of ICANN, other than the board that in the bylaws says has an accountability responsibility and is part of the accountability mechanisms, lowering the number for the ALAC I think would not be acceptable. And I would suggest the same is true for the GAC. And I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Alan, another statement in support of the voting scheme previously discussed. Let's now move to John.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
I'm getting a strange echo of myself in my ears, which is unhelpful at this time. I just wanted to support the proposal that you've made, Thomas, to get a 5x5 and trying to, as a matter of principle, I don't agree with what Robin suggested in terms of mimicking the board representation. I don't support the GAC or the ALAC only having advisory roles, and I don't support the RSAC or SAC having the same votes as an SO. So I'm happy with the 5x5 and times 2. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this statement of support for the previous reference model. Greg.
Greg Chatton, for the record. First, I would say that if we were to pursue the alternative proposal before us, we would have to take more than just the ratios from the board. We would need to take the roles so that the GAC would have GAC advice to the community mechanism would have the same effect as it does on the board, including the qualification that everybody has to talk about a mutually acceptable solution if we don't accept the GAC's advice, and the RSAC and SSAC liaisons would have to have at least the same effect that they have on board decisions as well. So this is you can't kind of just take the ratios. You have to take the rights and obligations that come with those ratios. That said, I'm not in support of that proposal, and I support the 5x5 and 2x2 proposal for purposes of getting this comment out. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Greg. I think we can now move to straw poll. So we would like to get confirmation from the group that the voting scheme, which we have heard support for by some of the members, is actually what we should keep as the reference model. So just for us to make sure that we're on the right track here, let's please use the green tick and red cross option in the Adobe room. And please tick green if you want to stick to the 5x5 + 2x2 model. If you disagree to that model, and if you prefer an alternative model such as the one that Robin has proposed, please tick disagree.
Thomas?
Yes?
Suzanne speaking. I am not on the Adobe Connect, so please record me as supportive of the original model of 3x5 and 2x2.
So that is actually 5x5. Tijani, I hope that we were on the same page here. 5x5 + 2x2 for SSEC and RSEC, and we will gladly add that to the documentation of this call. So from what I can see, we have 17 in agreement and two disagreements. So if that could please be, if that could be updated in the notes, please, that would be the...
Thomas, it's Jonathan. I'm not on Adobe Connect, and I vote yes as well. Not that it makes a difference.
Okay, so that would then be 16 + 2 from Tijani and Jonathan in favor, and 2 against from Aubrey and Robin. And Aubrey and Robin, I'm not sure about Aubrey, but Robin, I understand that you want to file a dissenting opinion to this. Please do so, and we will incorporate it in the body of the report. So with that, I would like to thank you all. I think there are no other items to discuss on this very point, and that gives me the opportunity to hand back over to Mathieu.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Mathieu Veil speaking. So now is the moment in the agenda where we come back and take stock of the discussions we've had earlier in the day or night, or depending on where you are. We have identified that there were 5 items we want to come back to. Ensure we have agreement on the way forward. We've discussed on the human rights. We have recirculated an executive summary, including the edits that had been requested. The stress test 18 text has been recirculated. We need to discuss the IRP document, and I'd like to note that a document has been actually circulated a few minutes before this call, and that's a very late submission. We are aware of this, but it's in line with the checklist that have been discussed extensively so far. And obviously, if there's any other topic after that, that someone is feeling the need to reopen at the very last minute, that will be maybe not welcome, but of course considered. So starting with the human rights discussion, to recap where we were in the previous call, we were updating the commitment section of the bylaws with a commitment number 8, and that's been circulated on the list, so maybe we can put it on screen. That is mentioning that within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. And that comes with the comment that before we finalize our report, we still need to assess whether there are unintended consequences of this formulation. And we also will include an item on Workstream 2 to obviously move this discussion further. And we will obviously assess, based on the public comments we receive, what we do with this particular commitment number 8 on human rights. And I would like to check with the group that this is whether there have been changes in your views regarding this, and if there are, what alternative proposal there is. And I'm seeing Greg's hand is up, and I know Greg was objecting to this in the previous call. So, Greg, maybe you have changed your position?
Hi, Greg Shatton, for the record. Thank you. I've now gone back to the intellectual property constituency to see what position, although I'm here as a participant and not as a member, but do have a role with the intellectual property constituency and need to check and see what the reaction was there. There are two reactions. One, with the language as currently proposed, there is strong discussion in the group of filing a minority report against the proposal based on this. I'm not saying that we've come to the conclusion that we're going to file a full minority report against the proposal, but it's under strong discussion. That said, I think that there may be a way to work with this language, not in a way that we would fundamentally support it, but which could be expressed merely as with a note of dissent in the body of the report itself. I'm going to paste some proposed language into the chat. I'm not saying it's fully baked, but I think it's closer to what we could kind of find for purposes of getting this thing out the door worthwhile. Particularly taking out the reference to only enumerating two specific rights, one of which is at the least not a verbatim restatement of a fundamentally recognized human right, and making a more general statement, which I think is actually close to some of the proposals that have been favorably viewed along the way. So if we could consider this alternative language or something in this ballpark, I think that I may be able to at least put out the fire with regard to the language that's currently proposed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And for everyone to be aware of the various proposals in the AC room, we're on page 4, the paragraph in red on the top of the page. That was the proposal we discussed earlier today. And Greg's proposal is in the chat. I would like to, first of all, thank Greg for the constructive proposal. And I'll move on to the next person in the queue, who is Steve DelBianco.
Thank you, Matthew. Steve DelBianco with the Commercial Stakeholders Group, of which Craig's intellectual property constituency is a member, along with the business constituency and the ISP, Internet Service Providers. In the last several hours, I did my best to poll the BC ISPs and IPC on this. And, of course, that was with the earlier formulation that was discussed from Keith Drazik this morning. I got very quickly, as many of you realize, you get discussions among your members to say, well, what's free flow of information? Where does that come from? And I was grateful that Robin responded right away that is a paraphrase of flow of information language that is in the UN Declaration on Human Rights. Thank you for that, Robin. And I got a feedback from most BC members that was in support of something general. There was also genuine concern that it could be used to clash with some of the consumer protections language that uses trademark protection to literally protect consumers from being defrauded. It's not about protecting the trademark owner when you're in the BC. That's more of an IPC perspective. We also did not receive substantial replies from the intellectual ISPs, and I rely on Greg's representation on what the IPC's view is. So all this is a long-winded way of saying that as a member of this group representing three different constituencies, the last 4 hours were not sufficient time for me to actually know where we stand on this new language. So I don't know for sure in the next 24 hours if we'll get to a minority dissenting statement on this particular paragraph, but I appreciate everybody trying to work on this, and I appreciate Greg Shatton coming back with new language in the chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. May I turn to the original proponents of this language, maybe Avery or Robin, for their view on the alternate proposal from Greg Shatton, if possible. Avery?
Yes, thank you. This is Avery Dean. What's critical to me is that we have a... Can you hear me?
Yes.
What's critical to me is that we have support for human rights in the bylaws. I can accept Greg's language. I can live with Keith's language. As I say, what's critical to me is that we have fundamental respect for human rights in the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Carus?
Careful, some 20 people in the call should not play with the incitement of the entire world. We remember what has happened a few years ago. Because of these things, we are dealing with the Internet, we are dealing with the ICANN, we are dealing with something that could put a society to total incitement. We have to be very, very careful and not be... emotional on this thing. Some colleagues sitting in a corner and forget about the rest of the world, millions of the people, and what had happened several years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We went up to the highest level of the countries and so on and so forth and created big problems in some regions of the world. Please be careful of what you're doing. Free flow of information, and we should be very, very general. We should be very general human rights, and we should put it in a general and high level and not go to the details of the things. What is in the Human Declaration right is already there. We don't need to emphasize that, and we should be very careful. We should just limit ourselves concerns with the fundamental human rights and full stop that, but not to go anything about anything after that expressions, because it's already in the Declaration of Human Rights, and that is sufficient in the highest level of all peoples in the United Nations. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I read your statement as more in favor of Greg Shatton's words than the initial one, because it's stopping after fundamental human rights. And Robin is next. Robin.
Yes, this is Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Robin.
Great. So, yeah, I really like Greg's proposal, and I want to thank him for it. I think it is broader than what we were talking about this morning, so it, in some ways it's a bit surprising because it would encompass things like privacy that I know members of our stakeholder group were concerned wouldn't be applicable to your definition. So I think that this is a great suggestion, and hope that we can be able to sort of put out the, as Greg says, with the, about a minority report on this issue by adopting this alternative language. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin. And just for the reminder of everyone, because the chat room is obviously moving, what we have in the AC room on page 4 on the in red is the proposal we've discussed earlier. And the proposal from Greg is not in the AC room, and I will read it again. It's within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized fundamental human rights. And I think that's important. And I'm going to take James' intervention, and after that we'll test the temperature in the room. And I will note that in the chat I have noted Sam Eisner's concern about both suggestions. James?
Jan, please put me on the queue, please.
Thank you. James speaking. And just a quick note. First off, I want to say that I do not disagree with the proposed language from Greg. I think it's fine. My only concern, and perhaps I can direct this question over to Sam and Kevin for an initial test and hopefully not need to escalate up to our legal advisors, but when we start baking things into ICANN's mission, a number of the commercial agreements that ICANN has executed with registries and registrars contain provisions to amend those agreements, in some cases, not unilaterally, but over the objections of the other contracted party, if the subject of the amendment is consistent with ICANN's bylaws and mission. So I just want to ensure that this doesn't become sort of a creeping concept that human rights,
can you mute your lines when not speaking? James.
Okay, thank you. And just to point out, my concern is that this, by reference, will kind of be backed into amendments that could find their way into commercial agreements between ICANN and its contract parties. So I would want to maybe just take that question offline to ICANN legal and Kevin, and just make sure that what we're doing here by changing the mission is not changing the scope of the amendment provisions of the RAA or the RA. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Tijani.
I'm having Tijani in the queue next. Tijani.
Please. Thank you very much, Mathieu. So, yes, Greg's update is good. And as I said this morning, we have to clarify that this shouldn't affect the delegation of domains or the attribution of IP addresses because of the nature of the kind of persons or parties that will benefit of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I see Greg's back in the line. And Greg, can you please expand on what you mentioned in the chat, that your proposal might still lead the IPC to file a dissenting opinion? Was that what you meant?
No, what I meant to say was that, and it's Greg Chatton for the record, what I meant to say was that we would not file a full-blown minority report or whatever the kind of nuclear minority option is if this language was used, but we would still essentially be a dissenting opinion within the group and want it to be mentioned in the narrative that there were, you know, opinions to the contrary within the group. I'm not sure exactly how we're handling that sort of variance of opinion in our final report, but we would not suggest that the entire proposal be blocked for if this language were adopted. But we still have strong concerns. They, you know, similar to Sam's concerns, Becky's concerns that I see in the chat, and James's concern that there is creep here, and it's not just a matter of unintended consequences. I think there are intended consequences coming from this language that are very much aimed at changing the current state of discussions and balance of discussions and policy with regard to intellectual property rights, who is, geographic names, restricted strings, and all sorts of other things. So I think there are a number of intended consequences which we have not had the time to explore. So still, you know, a great deal of concern, but just not going to set this thing on fire on the courthouse steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Let me rephrase where I think we are. We had a formulation that was discussed earlier today, and we've had Greg's proposal to be considered, which some find it an improvement and some have additional concerns with this proposal. And Greg clarified that that would still for the IPC and some parts of the community probably create a number of concerns, so that would not remove the concern that we've had earlier today about the unintended consequences. We've had Keith's proposal, the one in red, that got some support earlier, and I would like to check whether after this discussion, this support is still in place for us to move forward in our report with this and then assess the public comments we receive. Or if we need to fall back into the previous situation where there was no specific mention of human rights, but taking into account that I've heard a lot of traction for actually trying to assess it and put that forward, and I think that was the outcome of our previous call. So let me start by assessing again the temperature in the room with the wording that's currently in red. And as our public comment number two proposal, once again, bearing in mind that we would clarify that this is still a topic where we are assessing potential consequences and will be listening very intently to the public comment feedback we receive in the next few weeks. So for those who would be in favor of using the current version on your screen for ICANN commitment number 8, please use a green tick. For those who cannot live with this and would object to this, please use a red cross. And for Robin, this is Keith's language we are testing the waters on again. Caboose, you've raised your hand.
Yeah, which language? There are two. One in the left hand, the other is right hand. There is a difficulty with the right hand side, and we propose several times put full stop after rights. What you are putting, we should be very clear what you
think. Okay, I will.
The comments. Yeah, thank you.
So this is the red part, and I will read it again. It is, within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information.
Red cross from Jonathan.
Red cross from Jonathan noted.
And from me too, Tijani.
And from Tijani. Can Well, this is, can someone confirm the count? I have 9 green, 5 red so far. And, oh yeah, Chris Despain mentioned his support earlier in the call, so we need to count him. And Jordan has 12 and 6. Damn it. Okay. There's a function in the AC room for presenters to count. So can someone use this? Okay, so
Mathieu,
we are...
Mathieu, this is Thomas speaking, yes. But I see that people have unchecked their disagreement button in the meantime. So it was higher than now. Now we have 5. So can please all on the Adobe click the agreement or disagreement button now so that we get a complete picture. Thank you.
In the meantime, Mathieu, if I may, I have a general comment about this straw poll we are doing now. Suppose I want to pass something, a resolution, or how to say, a language, and I know that we will discuss it in the next meeting. I will call all the ANSs, all the at-large people to come and attend the meeting, and when we ask people to say if they support or not, they all will support or will not support. So I will win. I think that the straw poll, if we take it seriously and we will build our work on it, should be done among the members only. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. As I said, it's taking the temperature of the room, and you are right about potential abuse. I think what we can see here is I think we have about 12-8, so it's quite close vote, so it's not a very huge margin. I think we have two ways to move forward. Either we vote on Greg's formulation and see whether there's a difference, or we vote for the we check the temperature for the removal of any mention of the human rights, because I think on the proposal itself so far we have a divergence. So let me go first to. I think the one thing I would like to test, and please remove your ticks and crosses for the moment. Thank you. I would like to test whether, so Steve, you have your cross still, a proposal that would be, our current reference document is on the screen. So let me test who is in favor of keeping a text on mentioning human rights in the commitments. That's green. Green is keeping a text, however it's formulated. And red is avoid any text at this point in the process. In the commitments. So I'm seeing a new window in the AC room and I'm confused. Grace, can you explain?
Hi, Mathieu. This is Grace. I was just trying to type up the question in a poll function so it's maybe a little bit easier to count, but I can remove that window if you'd like.
Okay. No, just wondering what that was appearing. I think what I'm trying to do here is check whether there's a requirement from the group to to find language around the human rights that we would adding a language on human rights in the commitments in the ICANN titles. So green is for yes, we want a language on human rights, and no is no. We don't want a language on human rights. Because I think the requirement needs to be discussed first. And I see Thomas wanted to speak.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mathieu. I guess the difficulty with this is that we don't have the specific language in front of us. I certainly do appreciate analysis on the requirement, and I think that what we're seeing here is quite interesting. So obviously there seems to be quite some traction for looking into this further. Yet what I sense is that we had the proposal from Keith. The views on that were quite split, and that's what I would call divergence. So that means that we go back to the status we had before that, and that was that there is no explicit mentioning of human rights in the bylaw language. We've applied this methodology for other areas before, where we said, okay, unless there is sufficient traction for changing things, we will maintain the status quo. And I think that we should apply the same principle here. And that is not to say that there shouldn't be any language, but I think that this requires further analysis based on the feedback that we got so far.
Thank you, Thomas. Robin's hand is up for maybe a comment on the proposed approach.
Yes, this is Robin. I'm really confused. We seem to be moving backwards. We were really zeroing in on some language that were addressing the concerns of the people who had dissented this morning. And so I don't understand why we are not now having a vote on that language. Could we please have a vote on Greg's language?
Thanks, Robin. I think we're trying to assess various ways to sense whether there's traction. And we can definitely have a vote on any language, but and we can also do several polls, but I think we need first to clarify what's being proposed. So what I would suggest is that we move to the next item for now and come back to the human rights discussion after that, once we have clarified the questions and a sequence of questions, so that you can see more clearly. And I think we'll close all the polls for now, and keep in mind we will only put things in the report if we have significant traction, and obviously we're not doing majority votes. So I'm posing on this item for now, moving to the next, and we'll come back to human rights later in this discussion. Caruso, your hand is up.
Yes. We have been exercising vote for years and years. There is an alphabet for that. If there is an amendment, we put the amendment to the vote. The amendment is deletion of Greg and anyone else proposal and have no paragraph 8. This is the extreme case. Put it on the vote if you want after you come back. We cannot break all the law of the voting. People inventing something. There are many other forums in the world that they vote, and if there is an amendment, you put the amendment to the vote. An amendment is that delete paragraph 8 totally and put it to the work stream too. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I think that's exactly what I would like to take a little bit of time to prepare for, but there are two amendments currently being considered. One is to delete paragraph 8. The other is to replace paragraph 8 with Greg's proposal, and we'll need to consider this in time. But because of the confusion currently in the discussion, I'd like to just pause and get to another item and then come back to this. So the next item was the executive summary update. Can we have the executive summary, please?
Mathieu, 1 minute, please.
Thank you. So we've updated the executive summary with the discussions we've had earlier. Sebastian, is that a comment on the executive summary or a point of order?
No, it will be after your presentation of the point. I would like to talk about the executive summary, if you allow me. Thank you.
Okay, no, of course you will. Of course, just making sure we were not going backwards to the previous point. So the executive summary updates we have introduced were according to the discussions we've had earlier. So we have incorporated the Workstream 1 definition that is at the top of the page 2 of the document. We have updated the in the list of powers the section about the power to appoint and remove individual directors to put more emphasis on the fact that there is community-wide discussion before such a step is taken. As requested by Sabina, we have inserted a mention of the fact that the community can use the independent review process to challenge a decision by the board not to implement a recommendation of the INF function review team, which is one of the requirements. And this is not the market version, so I'm trying not to forget anything. We have also updated in the Workstream 2 items the culture of transparency. Within the ICANN organization, and the brackets on the lower on page 5, the brackets around the human rights should be removed, unless we come back to this. And I think that's it for our updates. And Sebastian, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. I was very interested this morning when, when Christopher Wilkinson say that we need to read it as a newcomer, and I really try to do the same, and I would like to make some suggestion on how to help document to be easier to understand. I will try as much as possible I will do not to enter into the content as a discussion topic, but more to suggest some announcement. First of all, I think we have the word community in different parts and with different meanings. And I would like to suggest that we put the community with a big T and big C everywhere we are talking about what is the mechanism, the community mechanism, and to allow the small C for community for the other time where we use it. The second point is I suggest very much that we try to avoid to say each time the CCWG accountability recommend, suggest, wish, because it's not helping in the reading of the document. It is our document. It's the document of the CCWG on accountability, and it's our findings. On the four building blocks,
Sebastian, just a quick word, and then you will continue. But I think edits, editorial comments, are very much welcome on the list and will be taken into account as possible. And I think during this call, where our time is scarce, we should definitely focus to the most substantial discussions. And we're taking note of the comments that come in the chat and so on.
I would like to give, the two comments I would like to give, it's on the four building blocks, I think I would like to suggest that we empower community, it's both the people and power, not just the people, and independent appeal mechanism, it's in fact the appeal and the review mechanism. And my last point is that I guess you leave the six community power in the fundamental bylaw on page 4, and it may be need to be removed. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. And let me encourage you to put your comments in writing just to make sure we don't forget, because there's so much to do on the on the finalization of the report. I hope you can do this. Christopher, you have a green tick, and you wanted to, I hope you can keep it brief and focus on the really the executive summary and not the underlying items.
Hello, Christopher Wilkinson, for the record. Mathieu, the chair asked me this morning to put my comments in writing, which I will do, so I shall not take your time now, except to say that I think I'm on a similar line to Sébastien, and particularly if you look very carefully at this and other documents, the word community, qualified or not, we even have a wider community, means distinctly different things in different contexts in these documents, and we will need some more precise definitions of going forward, particularly vis-à-vis outside parties. Thank you.
No sound.
Sorry, I was talking to a muted microphone. So that was, I see that Cavus raised his hand, and then we'll go to the next item.
Mathieu, I agree with those two previous speakers. During the last months, I have spoken to many people about the activity of CCWG. As soon as I refer to community, they ask me, what is the community? Empowerment of community, they said, it is the same community of the community ICANN. It is the wider community. People, they have no idea what we mean by community in this document, and there is a need to try to do something on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. In order to ensure we are efficient and come back to the human rights discussion quickly, we're going to slightly tweak the agenda, move now to the review of the explained graphics, and then once we've reviewed that and had a range of discussions, come back to human rights discussion with some prepared questions for the room.
Thomas?
Thanks very much, Mathieu. And while the explain slides are being brought up in the AC room, let me just preface this by saying that we've been working with explain to extract the main ideas from our report, support them with visual aid so that the reader will have an easier time understanding what we're doing. So the slide deck that we're going to walk through briefly is serving two purposes, one of which is it sort of is a 15-slide summary of our work, which can stand alone. We will also use that for the webinars that we're going to hold, but also we will incorporate the graphics and add them into the respective parts of our report so that the reader has an easier time understanding what we're doing with the report. So if we can please move to the next slide, or ideally I could get the scroll control. So we would have one slide briefly describing the overall process. That's exactly what you know for months or since we started. Then this slide is also something you already know. It's the distinction between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 and the description of the community and the board. Then we will introduce the four building blocks as per our previous discussions. And subsequently, we will, you know, this is a half-cooked slide, but it's more or less a placeholder to have a place where we explain that the community powers that we are discussing are an escalation path and that these are not deployed if everything works fine. So we do not, or the ICANN community will likely not even notice big changes because we want to keep everything consensus-based, but only in case there are issues that, for example, require a board spill, then this community power process could be invoked. So in order to make that clear, to demonstrate to the community that these are really escalation paths that we're talking about, we want to make that explicitly clear. Then we have an overview of the post-transition accountability mechanism. So we have the empowered community, we have the ICANN board, we have the bylaws that are changed, so there are existing parts, we have new mechanisms introduced, we have AOC reviews introduced into the bylaws. We also have a new edition of fundamental bylaws. And then we would have the independent appeals mechanism. We would then, you know, these actually unfold a little bit, but that's what you already know. I think it's worth mentioning that the third point, the structural reviews, are actually one point where the community can be held accountable. And I think that nicely follows up to the issue raised by Sebastian in the first call earlier today. So this is an overview of the different mechanisms and which parts of the community actually do interact. Then we would have ICANN's missions, commitments, and values, which would all be reflected as well as the affirmation of commitments would in the bylaws. We would have an explanation of the fundamental bylaws, so you can read through that, but it's basically an excerpt from the slides that we've from the report that you already know. We have an overview of the appeals mechanism. So this is the IRP. We will talk a little bit about the standing panel, at least seven members. We're talking about diversity requirements that you've asked for, talking about the specific review panels that would be looking at individual cases, and then we would talk about the role and scope. So I'm not going to read out the slides for you, but this is just to give you an idea of how we capture the main ideas of our works. Then we have the reconsideration request, where we summarized the main ideas on how the reform actually works. Again, I'm not going to read that out for you, but this is what captures the basic idea. What we then did is actually try to visualize the change between the current setup of the community and the future setup of the community. So at the moment, we have an interaction between the SOs and ACs, which represent the community and the board. Then we have certain actions taken by the board, but at the moment, there is no real possibility for recourse in case the community disagrees with certain board decisions or actions. And the right-hand part of that slide represents the new community mechanism that we have discussed, and this cloud actually represents, and we think it does quite nicely, and we hope you do agree to that, that we're actually not creating a new or an extra body, but that the SOs and ACs remain as they are, but that there is just this more or less virtual construction, which is the community member, community mechanism as a sole member, where the votes are counted on the, it should actually be 5 community powers, so that needs to be rectified when it comes to board actions or other board decisions. So this is to explain the difference between the current status quo and the future setup of the ICANN community interacting with the board. Then we would have an enumeration of the community's powers. And as you can see on this slide, we only have the 5 powers that this group has discussed based on community feedback. Then we give you and the community an overview of how all the community powers work. And we do hope that you agree with us that this is a nice and easy to understand description of the various processes for exercising community powers. So first of all, you would need a cause. So there needs to be an action, let's say, that is objectionable to parts of the community or that raises concerns with the community. And then we would have a phase of petition where, according to the respective community power, a certain threshold needs to be met. Then we have discussion inside the SOs and ACs and also within the community forum. Then there would be a decision made in the SOs and ACs, which would be collected and communicated through the sole member, and then the outcome would be achieved depending on the community power. So that could either be the decision to remove an individual board member or to ask for revisiting a budget. We then, you know, after giving this general explanation of how the community powers work, we would then give examples. First example being the process to reject changes to ICANN standard bylaws. So I'm not going to walk you through that, particularly since it's not fully finished. But basically, the outcome of that could be that the community rejects a bylaw change as suggested by the ICANN board. The other mechanism that we thought would be a good one to explain how things work would be recalling the entire ICANN board. So again, you would have the cause that there are significant wrongdoings of the ICANN board. We would then go through the 3 phases, petition, discussion, decision, and then the outcome of that, in case the petition is successful, would be that the interim board replaces the current ICANN board. We will then have another slide, which couldn't be prepared yet because our discussion was not finalized until now, where we speak to voting details. We would then explain how the stress tests work and categorize the stress tests in the 5 different segments of contingencies. All this is not new to you, so I'm not going to dwell on it for long. we would then have something on the work streams and their implementation. So that's also something that you already know, the different milestones of our work, including the face-to-face meetings, and then the implementation time for work stream 1 and work stream 2. We're now close to the end of this part of the presentation, but basically we would conclude or almost conclude by analyzing or checking on the CWG requirements. So in the left-hand column, you find the requirement. You then find a quick summary of our proposal in response to requirement, and then boxes are ticked to show whether we think the requirements are met or not. So I think I should end here. This will be updated as we move on with our decision-making in this group. So once we know all the remaining all the answers to the remaining questions, we will have this updated, and it will support the report and help with our webinars. And you will also hopefully deploy those when you communicate with your respective communities. So I think with that, I should open it up for your questions. I see a comment in the chat from Julie, and that will be taken into account. Again, I think you know, this is more to support what we're doing. I do hope that we will not have a lengthy discussion on this, because we should use the remaining time to discuss the substantive questions. So you can also let us know if you have any concerns with this on the list. So I think that Caboose's hand is an old hand. Therefore, I think I can safely hand back over to Mathieu to get back to the human rights question. Mathieu?
Thank you very much, Thomas. Back to the human rights question, and we've been trying to find a way to discuss the various arguments one by one, and taking Cavus' suggestion very to heart, because he's right that in the voting mechanism, or at least in the logic of making choices, it is good to have item after item of discussion. And I don't know if Grace's document is ready, Grace?
I'm just putting it into PDF and uploading.
Okay. So we will go through, and I'm aware of the potential drawbacks here, but through three different, at least two or three, depending on the outcome of the first two, three different questions, which we hope to have clarified so that everyone can have a full understanding of what's at stake. And the first two questions are the various amendments that were proposed. And I have a third question in case we don't get any traction for any of those, or we seem to be a bit lost, because obviously we're not doing votes. We're trying to assess traction and wide majorities or even full consensus. So there's a bit of a context being reminded in the document for those who want to read this, the NTIA requirements. We need to. That's the rationale for this discussion, was to make sure we address fully the maintaining the openness of the internet. That was one of the arguments of the proponents, and a context that has been several times reminded is on the top on Article 4 of ICANN bylaws, which is referring to relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions and local law, to the extent appropriate, and so on and so forth. And that's the context within which we are making this set of decisions. I will go for three different polls, and I'm showing you the sequence so you understand my logic, our logic, and then we'll remove this document and get one poll at a time, very slowly. The first question would be, who would support
the amendment that had been suggested to remove the commitment 8 as presented in the latest version, and that is reminded to you in below this question number 1. Second question, and we'll have to go to that second question anyway, whether we have said yes or no to the first question, would be, do you support Commitment 8 as proposed by Greg Shatton? And you have the wording below this. It's an alternate wording. If we have clear traction for one or both of these questions, then we will know how to move forward. If we don't, or we see that the decisions are very split, then we might have to consider the third question, which would be a more open question, to say we will work on this, and we will test whether we have traction and consensus and agreement to work on this as part of Workstream 1, I should have said, to insert a commitment. And that's my fallback option, would be to say we will try and do something, but we're not very sure yet what. So that's the logic of the sequence of questions where we want to take the temperature in the room. And so I would like to propose we move to the first one. So, Grace, can you please remove the document so that there's no confusion about which question we're asking, and put up poll number 1. So the poll number 1 is, do you support the removal of the commitment 8, which was in the latest version? And it says, within its mission and its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. So green tick is yes, I support the removal. And red cross is I do not support the removal.
Mathieu, this is Grace.
Sorry, could I ask a clarifying question?
I think we're all clarifying.
Grace, go ahead.
Well, all right, so the idea is that if we're working in a poll, it would be helpful if everyone used the same tool.
Oh, yeah,
so that
we can count
the information properly. Yeah.
So, apologies, I was misleading. No green ticks, no red crosses. You have in the AC room a yes, no, abstain, or no vote. Please use this and click on this. And if you're only on the phone line, please convey your vote to the group. Anyone on the phone line only? No.
I'm trying to figure out what I want to vote.
Sebastian, your hand is up.
Sorry. It was because your explanation of the vote, but now it's clear. We need to use the signal.
Thank you.
Tool. Thank you.
Apologies again for the confusion. I'm going to close the vote. The temperature taking in 5 seconds. The current count is 14 in favor of removal of the current version, 15 now, and 7 against. So while we have majority, there's a significant no section on this. Let me now move to question number 2.
Mathieu?
Yes, Tijani?
Mathieu?
Yes?
Sorry, I didn't read the same. I read 65 yes and 30 no. So I don't know what you are talking about. I don't understand.
Well, 30% no is a percentage. Can everyone mute their lines, please? Thank you. And that is not insignificant opposition, and yet there's a clear majority in favor of yes.
Matthew, point of order.
Yes.
Matthew, point of order. This vote clearly mentioned that you don't need to go to anything else because you have the majority not to go ahead with that. If you go to the second one, it is total confusion.
Please be quite clear.
You cannot go to the second voting because clearly you have majority not to go ahead with that.
We have majority not to go ahead with the current wording. However, we have not yet discussed whether the alternate wording proposed by Greg gets a majority or not. And I think that's we have been reviewing amendment number one. Amendment number two is still valid because it is a proposal to insert a new wording on commitment number eight, and it is still a valid amendment.
It's not valid. You vote to delete that. In favor of deletion was majority. Why you put another voting that whether
because
you need another alternatives?
Because we voted against a certain language, Kevus. And we have an alternative.
This is a new invention. The extreme one was deletion and was approved. So you delete that and you don't go for any other amendment. I don't understand this voting.
Well, voting on amendment
totally,
to remove first
totally
and amendment
everybody.
For an alternate proposal second. And that's, once again, we're trying to sense the room here. So the second poll is now, do you support a wording on commitment number eight, which would be within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized fundamental human rights? Point.
And the result?
We are still getting a couple of votes. We have 23. We have a 21 and 22.
I'm not able to vote, which is very annoying, because it's Sherilyn Denoor. Every time, I know I'm on an Android device, but every time I push the box to go into poll two, it is giving me a closed. In other words, it's leaving poll one. So I suggest Grace might need to remove poll one for at least me to exercise my vote.
Cheryl, I think it might be a small error. I can remove poll one if that's agreeable to the chairs, but otherwise the poll is open, and I think it may just be a technical error.
I know it's open. I'm telling you, my system isn't letting me get to it.
Okay, understood.
Can you share your vote with Bernie? He can vote for you through the admin stuff.
Or we'll note it in the notes.
And I already have shared it in the admin chat, but I'll do it again.
So the poll is now closed. This is a very split one. So there's no clear formulation that is getting traction on how to include human rights, and I think that's a clear conclusion of both of these votes. We don't have yet, at least, any formulation, and that leads me to the third question, which is not about bylaw amendments in itself, but it's basically about the orientation our group wants to take with human rights in this in our public comment report, is whether the group supports a statement that we will investigate in time for our final report how to frame an appropriate statement as a commitment towards human rights in the ICANN bylaws. And I know we didn't want to get any options in the report, but I think it's important that we give a direction whether we are putting this as one of our last outstanding items or whether we are deferring this into Workstream 2. And so I would like to encourage you to vote on this third item. Whether we...
No counter. No counter.
That's correct.
Great.
And here you go. We have a counter.
Could you explain the text of the vote, please?
So just recapping the text of the vote is whether you support that our public comment report would state that we are investigating how to frame an appropriate commitment in the ICANN bylaws as part of Workstream 1, a commitment towards human rights. And I think everyone's probably voted now because I'm seeing a number. I think this proposal is getting traction. And so the conclusion I would draw from this exercise, and I apologize once again for the length and the confusion, is that we have a way we know that we don't have words. We have some agreements that are at least some strong traction for mentioning in the report that we are investigating on this. And we have this work in front of us. However, we haven't got an appropriate wording on this so far. So we didn't have any wording that got sufficient traction to be posted in the public comment report as the proposal from the cross-community working group. And I think we'll have to leave it at this right now. I'm turning to Becky to see whether she's feels she's got what it needs to be added to the current draft report section?
Yes, if that's where we're going, yes.
Okay. And with that, I will now... Thomas, would you take the review of the stress test 18 confirmation?
Sorry, I have to unmute myself. Sure. And I think that to give us an update on the exact wording, since we don't have it in the Adobe room now, can you please, Steve, give us a brief update on this?
Certainly, Thomas. It's Steve Del Bianco from the stress test team. And while the Adobe is being loaded, I took a task, an action item from this earlier call today to update the stress test text. This is below the stress test where we indicate the bylaws change that's required. So on the page in front of you, you'll see the yellow text, which is new. And I would encourage you to scroll it up a little bit so that you see the text at the bottom of the first page, as well as the yellow text at the top of the second page. The first paragraph is a reminder of something we discussed in Paris on Saturday morning by suggesting that from ICANN's beginning through today, the GAC has used a strong consensus rule for its decisions. This is to remind everyone that this would not be a change to the status quo. And then I quote from the GAC's operating principles that, quote, consensus is understood to mean the practice of adopting decisions by general agreement in the absence of any formal objection. And I note that that is a strong consensus. The proposed bylaws change recognizes the GAC may amend its consensus rule to something less than the absence of a formal objection, while that would still require ICANN to try to, quote, find a mutually acceptable solution. So that is a clarification along the lines of what we discussed in Paris. It's not a change, it's a clarification. The change is that the yellow text at the very, very bottom, where we noted the fact that three GAC reps this morning from Argentina, Brazil, and France do not support the proposed bylaws change for stress test 18. And then we also note that the GAC is continuing to discuss the proposal. Thomas, that's, I hope that reflects what you wanted in there as of this morning. And if we agree to all that, I'll update the larger stress test document and recirculate it after the call. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve. And there's a queue forming, and first is Kapus.
Yes, Thomas. First of all, add my name as a representative of GAC Iran that's joining Olga and others, that we are not in favor of that. Number two, I don't think that other community need to interfere with the affairs of GAC. Consensus or majority is an issue exclusively in the hand of GAC to select any way that he wants. I strongly object to put anything in the bylaw indicating GAC may change its position in future. If that would be the case, GAC will do that without any reference to the bylaw. And I don't understand my very distinguished colleague, Steve DeBlanco, why he insists from the very beginning to intervene on this issue. This is something we got from the previous meeting for years. It works and so on and so forth. If one day GAC decide for certain question, instead of the consensus, total consensus is go to other options, they will do that. Does not require anything in the bylaw. This is unconstitutional, unacceptable, and wrong. We propose not to mention that at all. This is not appropriate, and I don't understand insistence of my distinguished friend Steve pushing for that and few other things. This is an issue of GAC. Leave it to the GAC to decide, and they can decide. They don't need any instruction from anybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Kapus. Olga?
Thank you, Thomas. Just want to support what Kapus said. We don't agree in explaining in the bylaws any reference to how the GAC makes decisions. So I won't repeat what Kapus said and what I said this morning and many times. Also, I think that the inclusion of this paragraph, it is noted that GAC representatives from Argentina, Brazil, and France do not support. I don't think it's right. There may be other countries that don't support this addition, and it points us in a kind of a highlight position. Three countries, we are 150 countries in the GAC, and many other countries in the world that may not like this. So I think this should be changed somehow to express that there are some countries that don't agree. I don't have a problem having the name of my country there because we this is our position, but not in the way that it's written. And at the same time, I agree with my colleague Kavuz from Iran. Why are we insisting so much in this? It's up to the GAC to decide how to make decisions. Thank you.
Thanks, Olga. Next is Steve.
Olga and Kavuz, thank you both for the intervention. For both of you, I would remind you that the only change to the bylaws is up above this, and it's the underlined bold text, which has nothing to do with what the GAC does, but rather what ICANN's obligations are. And all we do in the stress test 18 is say that ICANN's obligation to try and find a mutually acceptable solution is only triggered when the GAC advice has consensus. And again, we allow you to define consensus. So this is not a reflection on telling the GAC what it can and can't do. It's simply qualifying what ICANN must do when consensus advice comes over. And the purpose of the yellow text is not part of the bylaws. The only effect on the bylaws is the black underlined bold text to say that with respect to GAC advice, it is supported by consensus. And the second thing I'll note that is, Olga, I am completely indifferent about whether to list the names of GAC representatives and countries or just to put the words some GAC representatives. It's completely your preference. I thought I would note the three names that came up on this morning's call, and I could add Iran or I could write the words some GAC representatives and leave it at that. What is your preference?
Excuse me, point of order.
Kavuz, can you...
Point of order. I could not agree putting some GAC members disagree. Means other GAC members agree. This is a violation of the expression of votes. I cannot agree with that. Some GAC members disagree means that other GAC members agree. There are 154 GAC members, and only four were able to attend this meeting. And I don't understand we could quote the others. This is the meaning that other GAG members, either they are abstention or agree with this text. This text is not necessary. Please remove it totally. Please remove that totally. It's not, there is no stress test at all. GAG will be quite wise to see. If there is any area that the consensus should be in a different, we do that. Thomas, there is a very sensitive issue at the table of GAG. This sensitive issue will give rise that somebody push for this. We don't agree with going to the majority. Totally will destroy the whole issue of GAG. Please do not push this. It is wrong to say some GAG member disagree. Means that other GAG member agree. This is the implicit meaning of that. We don't agree with this.
Tavus, you have made yourself very clear on that point. Let me reiterate that we are all trying to find the right language in good faith. Steve has come up with a proposal to note the objections by the countries that spoke up in the first call. We can certainly try to find language that will suit everybody's needs. At the moment, let's continue with gathering some input. And for that, I have Olga and then Jordan in the queue.
Thank you, Thomas. This is Olga Cavalli for the record from Argentina. Steve, thank you for the explanation, and I appreciate your efforts. If I am outside this process and I read this paragraph, it seems like there are only three countries opposing, and that's not the point. There are many other countries that agree with Argentina, Brazil, and France. So it should be rephrased. I personally have no problem in having the name of my country included in a list of countries opposing, but the way it is shown, it looks like there are only three, and that's not the point. That is not true. So this is why we object. The way it is written, we can work it out in a certain text, or you can delete it, whichever the way. But the way it is, we don't agree. Thank you.
Olga, let me just briefly ask a follow-up question. Are you in favor of deleting only the last two lines, or are you suggesting to delete the last two lines as well as the other highlighted yellow section?
I want to delete the whole 18 stress test. That's my point. So I don't like this. I don't see the point. Argentina doesn't see the point in this. Many other countries also agree with us. We are not alone. The GAG is working towards a common position. Maybe we find it, maybe we don't. We are doing an effort in that, so you have to have that in mind. But I don't see why there should be references to the how the GAG does make decisions. It's up to the government. I don't know if I responded to your question, but that's my answer.
Still up to the GAG to define how it sees or how it construes the term consensus. So in that, there is still full flexibility with the GAG. I do understand that you might have an issue with the way your intervention is made reference to. So I think what we can easily do is just delete the two last lines in this paragraph. The question then would be whether there are additional tweaks that we could make to the language in order to reflect what you've asked for. I do not see sufficient traction in the whole group for removing the whole stress test 18. Jordan is next.
Thank you, Thomas. I just want to go, I find myself bemused at how this conversation keeps ending up with people talking past each other. I don't understand why GAC reps keep raising any notion that anything in this is about telling GAC what to do in terms of decision making or anything. I just urge people to keep reading the whole of J and K in their entirety. The only thing this does is say that ICAM will, in good faith and in a timely manner, try to find a mutually acceptable solution with the GAC, where the GAC advises consensus advice. That's the only thing it says. And the only reason it's needed, is because unlike any of the other ACs or SOs in this organization, the GAC can write its own rules without it being a bylaw change. So that's an unusual situation. And what it requires us to do is to be clear about how the rest of the ICANN community has to deal with that advice. So no one is saying that the GAC can't write its own rules. No one is saying that the GAC is going to or not going to change consensus. None of that is relevant. The only thing that's relevant is how the ICANN board is obliged to try and find a mutually acceptable solution. And so adding the language is just about clarifying that the way things work at the moment is absolutely fine, but that no one part of the ICANN ecosystem can unilaterally choose to require other parts to deal with it differently. And we've had very clear advice from the U.S. again and again, repeated and repeated, that this is an important stress test for them in the context of the stewardship transition. So that's why I support it retained as it is there. Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Cavus, Greg, and after that we're going to close the queue.
Thomas, can I propose a solution? Delete the last two lines, because it's not correct saying that some people disagree means other people agree. Amend the text proposed by my dear friend Steve in the line after the GAC. GAC may wish, add after may wish, to consider, comma, if necessary, comma, amending its consensus role. So the text would read, GAC may wish, comma, to consider, comma, if necessary, comma, amending its in rules 47 or the consensus rule. So that we put it in the GAC to consider the necessity or otherwise if it so wishes. So put it at full disposal of the GAC. That is the maximum we could agree. Otherwise, I fully join Olga for the deletion of the entire stress test 18. With this amendment, slightly we could live with that until GAC finishes its study and come up with a formal position, which we are not at this stage. But this may wish to consider, if necessary, amending would not make any harm to GAC in its considerations.
Thanks, Cavus.
Did you finally get my wording? Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. Let us try to take stock of what's been said so far. I suggest we delete the two last sentences in this paragraph, and I also suggest we test Cavus' language. I hope it has been captured by staff to make it more explicit that the definition of GAC consensus is in full discretion of the GAC. I would assume that Steve and Cheryl would consider this a friendly amendment to what they had or their group has suggested. If not, please do speak. Cheryl is just confirming. So I would suggest that we proceed on that basis unless or until such time we hear otherwise. Greg. And can I, you know, I'm going to take Christopher, although I had closed the queue. Can I ask you both to please keep it very brief?
Greg Shatton, for the record, I'll try to be brief. Unfortunately, it's more of a question than a position, but I'm trying to understand the position of the GAC members who've been talking, which is whether they expect that if the GAC were to issue a position and call it advice, but it was arrived at only by, say, a simple majority vote, that they would still expect the GAC and the board to try in good faith and in a timely and efficient manner to find a mutually acceptable solution. You know, would the ICANN board be compelled to go through that that process based on a simple majority opinion? That is the concern that is underlying this, and yet it seems, as someone said, we're kind of talking past each other. But that's kind of the underlying concern, and it does, if it is the expectation of the GAC that a simple majority vote should get the same deference and have to go through the mutually acceptable solution process, then I'd like to understand that. If that's not the position of GAC members, then maybe there's a way out of this. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Christopher? So Christopher has lowered his hand, so we're now at the end of this discussion.
I've lowered my hand for the time being. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Christopher, for that confirmation. I would suggest that we proceed on the basis of this version with two changes, first of which being last two lines are going to be deleted. Second is the amended language in the upper paragraph, which is highlighted in yellow, to honor Cavus's proposal to make it more explicit that this that the definition of consensus is in the discretion of the GAC. So unless there are objections to that way forward, I think we can close this item. And and for the next topic, I would like to hand over to Mathieu again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Our next topic is the independent review process. And as mentioned earlier in this call, the document that was provided, the full document that was provided just before this call, but it's consistent with the checklist that had been heavily discussed within Work Party 2, but also within our group. And for a quick overview of the document and what has been changed, I would like to turn to Becky. Becky?
Thank you. So what I've done is to take the language in the draft initial report on independent review and modify it to reflect the changes that were captured in our discussion and shorthanded in the once again, I'm not seeing the markup here, Brenda. The only document I sent was a markup, so somehow your uploading process gets rid of the markup. Do you guys have a way?
Becky, we don't have a markup, but give us 1 minute and we'll reconvene with you and figure out what we need to upload.
I think that the document on the, hold on. The document on the wiki, I think it is the right document. I'm just pulling it up. Oh no! Somehow the markups went away. Okay, I'll send you the markups right now. Sorry, guys. Jordan or Mathieu and
yes, Becky.
Thomas, if you want to work on something else while I do this. And then the changes.
Okay, so maybe I can take Malcolm's questions first, if so that it gives Becky a little bit of time to get back on everyone's feet. Malcolm?
Okay. I was just going to say that those of us who have been in WP2 have only had this document that supposedly implements our work since about 45 minutes. While we've been having the discussion, I've gone through it and I've seen some omissions from what we had documented as the WP2 consensus. It seems fine in everything that it says, but it doesn't seem to have, it seems to have missed out a few things. So I've sent through some markup back to the WP2 list, pointing out those omissions and suggesting it to be added back in. So this document that Becky is showing, I believe, is incomplete from our consensus position.
Malcolm, can I just ask, did you get a marked up document? Because I'm pretty sure that's what I sent.
I got a marked up Word file. I haven't looked at PDF.
Oh, I didn't send PDF.
Well, they've converted it to a PDF and they lost the markup in that process.
Right, okay, that's what I think is happening.
Would you like us to upload Malcolm's version, Becky, then, or go back to your version?
I'm gonna send my. That's not my version. What you've got up there. The changes went away. Malcolm, would you?
Let me offer something, Becky. Let me offer something.
If Grace has my version, then she could use that.
I can take direction from anyone. I just need a little bit of direction here.
I think we can work on Malcolm's version. And I think what matters here is that any significant issue we would have with the text that would be in divergence with the checklist that has been agreed on should be noted and corrected. Caboose, your hand is up.
Matthew, it is 4 o'clock in the morning. Up to what time we are going to work? Just let me know. It's 4 o'clock in the morning in Seoul, Korea.
I know. We announced that it might be an open-ended meeting, and we would hope not to take too long now. But I think we need to close those items and ensure we have heard everyone before we actually move on.
So we don't agree new ideas. It is too late at this stage to inject any new ideas.
No new ideas. No new ideas. Just on the IRP, it's just about ensuring that the text here is consistent with the checklist that's been agreed on. And no new idea bringing up. No stepping back into some of the ideas. It's only a consistency check. And I would like to thank Malcolm for doing this very thoroughly.
Yep. To be clear, what we're checking is consistency with the consensus agreement in WP2 that we were being reported upon in the previous meeting.
Yeah, and the checklist was also discussed on the CCWG itself.
It was, yes. But at the time, we noted we didn't have text to see whether that was actually implementing the consensus position from the Working Party.
So is there, maybe based on Malcolm's addition, on a quick review, Becky, is there anything you want to point out?
I'm still doing my quick review here. I think that the problem is that the redlining went away. I don't have objections to Malcolm's changes, although actually I think that they are all in there, although in different places. Just taking a quick look at Malcolm's changes.
I tried to follow your structure, but of course I didn't have your direction as to precisely where you wanted things. So I was working independently. I mean, we only had it 45 minutes ago. I did my best.
Yeah, no, I'm totally sorry, guys. I've been trying as hard. We didn't really reach closure until pretty recently. So it was a struggle to get it in.
Let me offer a way forward. I think we will give an extra, I don't know yet whether it's 12 or 18 hours for a final review of the text as amended by Malcolm, based in our assessment of any input on this will be whether that's consistent with the checklist. So no new idea, no removal of ideas that were present in the checklist, just ensuring we have consistency. And that's the kind of editorial comments we could take into account for a little more time. I think I'm uncomfortable in closing completely while we are reviewing the document as is. And that will include, obviously, any comment from independent legal advice that is currently, will be reviewing this. Grace or Bernie, what would be an appropriate time for this deadline of review?
I'm not sure, Mathieu, off the top of my head. I haven't really thought it through. Bernie, do you want to jump in on this? Do you have an opinion?
Probably, yeah, I mean, the person who's got the pen on this is Becky. She's in Washington. If we close it off by noon Washington time tomorrow and everyone's had a look at it, it'll be okay.
Well, that is 1600 UTC on Friday.
I believe that's...
Okay. So let's put that in the action item and thank Malcolm for his quick review and Becky for coming up with it.
I must say, as a point of order, what we are ensuring here, what was reported at our last IRP meeting, was using a checklist to report on the consensus of the working party. What we are checking now is that this document, this text that we are putting, matches that consensus in that working party. The checklist is not something that has any independent status. It is the agreement of the working party that we are implementing. If there is anything that is on the checklist or missing or inaccurate from the checklist as compared with the documents of the working party, then the checklist must fall. It is the consensus position that stands.
Absolutely. We are perfectly in agreement.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I am now turning to Thomas.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mathieu. I think what needs to be done now is a quick discussion on the way forward with the human rights question. We do take the concerns that have been raised on the list in the chat very seriously. We don't want to end this conversation with individuals on the group having the feeling that this didn't go right. And what I heard, and you might add to that, is that the first question should not have been asked in the negative, but in the positive, and that we might have needed to conduct the questions in a different fashion. I would very much like to hear suggestions from the group without, entering into a lengthy discussion to just ensure that we heard you, that we heard the concerns. Maybe you can offer a question or a a way forward, how we can ask questions so that no version is actually discriminated. Again, let me say that, you know, we are trying to maneuver this in a good faith and best possible manner. But this is a very complex discussion. We had different proposals on the table, and we do not want to give the impression that these options on the table have not got equal chances. So I'm not sure, Malcolm, whether this is an old hand or a new hand. If it's a new hand, please do speak up.
This is a new hand. Please, point of order. We have completed this text.
Cavus.
You cannot go back to that. I'm sorry, you cannot go back. In one session, it is totally illegal, unconstitutional. Something has been completed. After half an hour, you come back to that. You need 6 hours of time in order to people to be refreshed. And this has been completed. And there is nothing wrong with the decision that we recognize the importance of human rights and we address that in the work stream too. Why you come back to that? What is the reason you come back to that? Why you use your power in abusing what is to be done? It is already completed. Why have you come back to that again?
Cavus, now let me state a point of order. Please do not make the allegation of us abusing any power. We're trying to maneuver this group to solutions that reflect the wish of the group. The wish of the group may have not been reflected in the way we have asked the questions. We would like to ensure that we adequately capture what this group wants. And there may have been a mechanical or a technical error in how we asked the questions. We want to be fair to everyone. And if the result of the previous poll did reflect the wish of the group, the outcome of this discussion will likely be exactly the same. So I think we just want to make sure that everybody is equally treated. But it's just the opposite. It's not abusing power. It's giving fair treatment to everybody in the group. Robin, your hand is raised.
Thank you. Yes. When I started my day at 4 o'clock this morning, we had a poll on this issue on human rights. And it came out 16-4 in favor of a commitment to human rights in the bylaws. And there were dissenting opinions, and there was concern about those opinions. And so some language was drafted to try to address those concerns. And we were really zeroing in on some consensus language that addressed the concerns of the different parts of the community. And so I'm very concerned that a lot of the people who were supportive of human rights in this group were not able to be on the call this afternoon and was not able to participate in the polls, and as a result, the human rights is being dropped from that commitment is being dropped from the bylaws. So I think that, you know, we say we're not going to make these kinds of decisions based upon a single meeting. Well, I think that has to apply to this meeting as well. And the people who were supporters of, for example, Keith's proposal, who wasn't able to be on the call this afternoon and did vote for it this morning, you know, we need to hear from the others who were not able to be on the call this afternoon, and recognizing that we need to have just a fundamental commitment to human rights in the bylaws is an important aspect of ICANN's overall accountability. I think that this has got to be an issue that we have out for public comment, or we're certainly going to get a lot of pushback from a lot of different parts of the community that say ICANN is only concerned with economic rights and economic interests. So I think we can't drop it from the bylaws based upon really some arbitrary polls with pretty bad language in one call, considering the significant support that we had for it just hours previous by a different group of people. So let's please take this to the list, or, you know, whatever the forum is here, to continue this conversation and to try to find a compromise, a consensus position, so we don't have to file a minority report that this proposal fails on the openness requirement. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Cavus?
Yes, Thomas. We have already gone through a process of voting. The question was clear from Matthew. It was clear, and we cannot resolve the issue in half an hour or in 6 hours. What you put in the text, if I understood, 79% in favor of that the CCWD recognized the importance of the human rights and will deal this matter in the work stream too. And we are open in the second public comments. Once we receive that, we have ample time to patiently, quietly, and nicely discuss the matter. Let's not to rush into anything. I don't think that the people who have not attended this would be in favor to continue these discussions. It is too late, and what you put is cautionary action and does not need. We cannot agree to go back to the voting. This is the principal issue. Voting has been completed. Question was clear, and the result is clear. We cannot go back to that. Constitutionally, we cannot go back to that. We have to stick to some rules. We cannot totally drop all the rules in favor of the wishes of the people. We have to apply the rules. This is rules worldwide, and we have to apply that. We have completed. The text was clear by Matthew, and the vote is clear. The result is recorded, and the issue is finished. What you put here is quite clear. Recognizing the importance of human rights, and we address that in the second work stream, or in the work stream too, in a proper manner and with patience, and with sufficient time. We don't need to rush to anything, and I cannot understand the people that they say that there was some consensus. It has been discussed for months and months, many, many, many times. It is not the first time. Sensitive, critical, and very delicate issue. We cannot push or something. There are many, many issues on that. I cannot speak more often than what I'm doing now. This is a very critical issue. We cannot rush into that. Please, it has been in other areas, not only in ICANN,
Cavus,
in the whole world.
I think you,
so let us
Cavus,
not to do that.
I'm sorry, I think you have made your point very clear. I'm glad to hear that the questions have been clear to you. According to what we read in the chat, the question has not been clear to everyone. We are, particularly because of the importance of human rights, we want to make sure that we get this process done right. And if there was a flaw in the way we process this, we need to rectify that. But let's now hear Cheryl.
Thank you. But I think I heard Tijani's voice, so I would say to Tijani first.
Tijani?
Cheryl,
why don't you...
Thank you. I will go ahead. It's Cheryl Langdonor for the record. Because I rarely put up my hand to speak from a personal perspective in these calls, as you, I trust, will recognise. But with the utmost respect to you, I think you are somewhat overreacting in this particular case, perhaps to the lateness of the hour, which, unlike Jordan and some of us, you may not be quite so used to, because we routinely work between 2 and 5 or 6 in the morning and then go on to our working day, as Robin did today earlier. But what the co-chairs are trying to do, or were trying to do with this last proposal of theirs, was to ensure that there was not a misinterpretation and misreading, which I personally believe there is a real risk there was, in the first question hold. So, from that point of view, we obviously do need to revisit this. We may indeed not have the energy and the inclination to revisit this now, but we probably do need to revisit this in a calm, cool, and I would think like to think collaborative, if not consensus-building manner, this issue within the next 20 hours or so. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Greg?
Thanks, Greg Shatton, for the record. I've been sitting here wrestling with myself, devil or angel perhaps, and between kind of my multi-stakeholder ethos, consensus-driven, bottom-up self and my I have a position and I like it when my position gets adopted self. We seem to have ended up where I would have liked to end up, but I'm not sure that was where we should have ended up. I think that in trying to achieve consensus, which is really what we should be about, you know, this was, as Jonathan Zuck notes, this was not a formal vote within our charter's meaning. This was a straw poll. And it was a poll that, you know, having worked for many years with survey experts, designing a poll is an art form, and designing a poll on the fly when you're not skilled in that art is very, very difficult, to say the least. So, you know, relying on where the poll came out, even if it ends up with a result that I would have supported, makes me a little queasy as a firm believer in the multi-stakeholder ethos and as somebody who doesn't generally, you know, want to stay in one's corner and win, but believes that we achieve things by sometimes swallowing a little bit of what we don't want to swallow, even if it's so that we get to where we get to as a group. It's kind of a little no and a little yes. And I feel that somehow in the course of this process, we ended up, through the way that the votes or straw polls were done, somehow missing out on the consensus we might have achieved. And I don't know if I'm representing the IPC to the best of my ability in saying this, because the result we got is one that we would most strongly support. But in looking, trying to take a bigger view of this, in trying to rise above any particular position and to try to find where this group might have ended up if we had truly been able to engage in the consensus process that's at the very heart of what we do, I think that we somehow may have missed the mark. If, in fact, the consensus forms around where the final poll ends up, that's great. That's where my green tick is. But if a real consensus would have brought us somewhere else, then we could live with something where everyone loses something and some people get their way, but nobody feels that they've somehow just been punched in the face and thrown out the back door, then that's better. And that's my multi-stakeholder side. And that, I think, is the side that ends up winning for me, because this is bigger than the needs of any one group or any one position that we have. This is something we're all in together, and I'd rather be in it together with everyone than win in a way that causes losses all around. And that's where I stay, and I really actually feel like quite emotional about that. Thank you.
Thomas?
Thanks very much, Greg. I hear Tijani, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Thomas. I just heard a few people speaking about the process, the polls, and I am not happy that some confused the straw poll with the election, with the vote. It wasn't a vote; it was a straw poll. And a straw poll, you can make it as much as you want till you reach the consensus. So it is not, there is no thing wrong to do it more than one time. Second point, as I said, Robin was saying that if people that are in favor of human rights inclusion in the ballot couldn't come in the afternoon, it doesn't mean that the temperature. And she is right. As I said in the beginning, if we want to make, if we reach a very sensitive point that we know that we will not reach full consensus, and we need to know the temperature, I think that we need to prepare people to tell them in the afternoon or tomorrow or in 2 hours we will make a straw poll, online straw poll, about this point, and only the members vote. Because if you don't say that, I will make, as I said, I will make my community to come and vote, and you will have the temperature of at and not the temperature of the community. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. There has been, I think, you know, if my memory doesn't fail me, I think the main issue was that the proposal that Steve made was connected to a question in the negative. And I think that Jonathan has put questions in the chat that got some question, and that is, one, do you support adding HR language to the bylaws? If consensus is yes, then do you support Keith's language? And if that, or Greg's, I think that need to be two different questions then. I think with the poll that has been criticized so much, the first question has already been answered in the affirmative. So let me hear whether we could agree on, you know, double-checking with the first question. Do you want additional language? And then we would ask, are you in support of Keith's proposal? Because if, you know, we wanted to confirm the decision that was made in the earlier call today, right? So I would suggest we have two questions, one on, and Grace, you're building up a poll now. I'm not suggesting to do that at the moment. I would really like to get clarity on the questions to be asked. Ellen's hand is up, so please, Ellen.
Thank you very much. Thomas, you said that the first poll had a definitive answer. I do not agree. People may have answered yes, delete the language that's there because they wanted no language or because they preferred Greg's language. And you don't know why people answered yes to that. I would suggest,
and then,
I would suggest you make it very clear. Do you want silence, Greg, or Keith, or whatever the options are, and let people simply choose.
Okay. Your point is well heard. I think
I agree with Alan.
Tijani agrees with Alan. So there is support for the three options. And I also take Robin's point that about the call earlier today. But Robin, if I may add, you were also concerned that supporters of that question are not on this call. So I haven't had the opportunity to check with my fellow co-chairs and the rapporteurs. I would suggest to you, but I'm open to hear suggestions, that we ask this question. Do you like any, or would you like or support language in the bylaws on human rights? Then are you supportive of Keith's suggestion? Are you supportive of Greg's suggestion? And I would suggest that we take note of these questions, send them out to the list, and people on the group shall please send their view to ICANN staff by a certain period of time. I think we should not do it now. People are exhausted. We have discussed this earlier on. You know, I think that's better than doing a straw poll now, which might cause more confusion then it helps.
Thomas?
So, is that Thomas. Tijani? Tijani?
Yes. I have a proposal for the question. I would like it to be only one question with three choices. With three choices. The first choice is don't want any language in the bylaw about human rights. The second choice will be want a language in the bylaw, but to be done in the work stream 2 or to be considered later. Third point, I like to have the language of Greek in the bylaw, or I want to have the original language in the bylaw. So four options. This will be very clear. We don't have to say this question and then the other question. Yes, perhaps he doesn't mean this. He will mean that. The question must be very clear for me, so that anyone will know what he is choosing. What he is choosing. Thank you.
Handsome Bear.
Thanks, Tijani. Kavuz, I'm not sure whether that's an old or a new hand.
Yes, it is a new hand, Thomas. It is. I think the question is out of the control of the co-chair. Totally out of control. You said that what Matthew did was wrong. Is it correct? He raised the question quite clearly, and the question was that, do you want a high-level general reference to human rights in the bylaw, indicating the details of which will be worked in the work stream 2? That was a valid question and a valid temperature. Don't call them voting, call them temperature. So that was a valid question. You are saying that he raised the question wrongly. Is that correct? You disagree with each other?
No, that is not correct.
I think the first question, let me finish. You allowed Greg to talk for 15 minutes, allow me to talk for 2 minutes. The question, first question, would you like to have a general high-level reference to the human rights in the bylaw indicating the details of that will be worked out during work stream 2? This is the first question. Thank you.
Kavuz, let me be perfectly clear. This decision on how to move about was a decision by the leadership team, and I'm in no way criticizing Mathieu for how this has been conducted. This is a group exercise. We have made a decision on the spot. There has been criticism, and as we did previously, we're listening to this group, and we're trying to accommodate everyone and make sure that that we do the best for the sake of the whole group and its results. Mathieu would like to speak to this. So, Mathieu, over to you.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Mathieu speaking. As Thomas just been saying, this is a collective exercise, and it has been in the first instance when we tried our best to find our way through a complex web of options and a discussion that is clearly being quite challenging in terms of finding a common position within the group. We're not, and I'm not, and I think we all collectively are not satisfied with the way we managed the discussion, and that's why we are trying another attempt. Because our hope is that everyone stays focused on finding this one point of compromise where everyone can live with the outcome. And that is the effort that we're undertaking during this call, as we've been doing for a while now. So Thomas and I and the rest of the leadership team are really trying to find something that everyone can live with. Thank you.
And in our pursuit to hear the group's wishes, there is some support for doing an online straw poll now using the ticks, so that everybody has full transparency about what has been done. I think we need to put the questions in writing for everyone to see. Let me turn to my colleagues. Can we do this right now? I think Jordan has taken good note of the question, or shall we take 2 minutes to get that prepared? Typing questions in the chat.
I don't have connection, so please read them.
We will, Tijani.
Thank you.
I don't know who's meant to be reading these, so I'll read them out because there's silence at the moment. My suggestion is that the first one is, as per Zuck's suggestion, should we include human rights language in this report? And we know the part that we're talking about. I think we should do green ticks if we think that we should, red crosses if not. And then I think we should test the preference between the two languages. Keith has agreed in the last call or not. I mean in this comment report, which is a proposal to include it in the bylaws. So it's the same text we were looking at before. I don't know why the co-chairs have gone silent, but I'm not...
No, we're still there. We're still there. Okay, can we hear, you know, we note that Caboose has also made a suggestion. Let's focus on this first. Is would asking the questions this way put the concerns at rest? And Caboose, I've seen your suggestion.
Yes, Thomas. If we ask the question, do you want that we refer to human rights in bylaw? The answer is yes, everybody. Everybody agree with that. But the question is timing. The question is the process. The real question would be, would you like or do you like or do you agree to have a high-level reference to the human rights in the bylaw, indicating that the details of which will be considered and discussed and processed during work stream 2? This is the correct question. If you say, do you want human rights? Everyone wants human rights. I want human rights. I'm in favor of human rights. But we cannot work the details of the language of Greg or language of Keith or language of various language. All of them are good. But we cannot make this selection now within 24 hours. This should be detailed in the work stream too. Please take the way that Matthew proceeds. He said that, would you like to have a high-level reference in the bylaw today, tomorrow, and then the detail of which will be the work stream too? This is the first question. Thank you.
Caboose, I guess the question is to be understood in this way, i.e., whether human rights should be explicitly mentioned in the bylaws. And if that question is answered in the affirmative, then the other question is which of the language we're going to choose. So I hope that this is now clear, and I would I'm now seeing more people typing, so let me
Thomas.
Thomas?
Tijani.
Is that Tijani?
Yes. You said it is clear that I don't see anything, I don't have a reconnect. I don't know what are the questions. And the question about do you want any language on the bylaw, it was answered by the Matthew's question. Do you want Greek language, it was also answered. And the last question was answered, and it had a very large approval. So I think that this is the solution. If we want to ask other questions, yes, but we are asking the same questions in another way. And now people have already left. So I don't know. I don't think it is the right way to do it. So if you want to do something, to do it online, and please ask people and inform people that they have to go to the to Stropol and to give their opinion. And also, again, I say that it must be only the members that have to take part in this Stropol. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavuz.
Yes.
Thanks, Tijani.
Yes.
Kavuz, I guess that's an old hand, right?
No, this is a new hand. Let me explain to you, Thomas. If you raise the question, would you like to have a specific language relating to the human rights in the bylaw? And the answer is yes. Okay. I'm sure the answer will be yes. Then, would you like the text of Greek? And if the answer is no, what do you do? The first answer, we want to have something. The second, we don't want the Greek language. Suppose, maybe they want. What do you do then? You go back again? So I think the best question would be, would you like to have a high-level reference or a general reference to the human law, human rights in the bylaw, where the details of which will be worked out in work stream 2? This is the question. Otherwise, if you raise the question, would you like human rights? Everyone wants human rights. But then you go to language, if there is no agreement, what you do? You come back again to another question? So let us take the question raised by Matthew or put by Matthew that high-level reference today and details in future. This is the question, and I don't understand why you refuse to take these questions. This is a suggestion and should be worked out. What is the problem with that? Please. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fawood, Alan. And after that, we're going to close the queue.
Thank you very much. If we're talking about two or three questions, and I've lost track at this point, if there's two questions and there's four possible ways you can answer those questions, if there's two options each, you might have a rule saying if you answer no to the first one, then don't answer the second one. People will answer it anyway. If we answer one question, ask one question with multiple options, it will be clear. People will not, you do not have to divine how people are interpreting the first question and using it in the second question. So I strongly suggest providing the multiple options and let people choose the one they like. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. So let me allow just for a second to assess this.
So Thomas,
Matthew,
yeah, do you have do you want to explain the way you want to proceed, or do you want me to because I would like to, I can make a suggestion.
Yes, please do.
So here's what happened. We've made a number of polls, last call, this call, to test the temperature. There's been frustration expressed because one of these questions has not been put up for temperature of the room testing. And this question was the preference between Keith and Greg's language.
You asked it.
And so, And that has not been done, and I've heard frustration about the fact that it hadn't been done. Meanwhile, once we've done that, it doesn't mean we make a decision right away, because obviously we'll have a lot of we might have a lot of conflicting signals between the different questions. But I think that's where our charter says that it is our role, the role of the co-chairs, to confer and assess where consensus is met or not met based on the exchange of information we have during the calls, and make decisions about the way forwards and whether the consensus conditions are met. And so I would like to I'm not keen, Jordan, to reopen the first question, which was already asked during the last poll, although I don't have a strong objection against it. But I think what's important is that we ask the second, at least. But I'm okay to recap the first one as well, so that we have maximum amount of information. But please bear in mind, once this is done, we won't close the item forever. I don't think we can do that right now. We'll get a better view, and we'll have to discuss as co-chair how we suggest to proceed. So, Thomas, that would be my proposal. We can take both of the questions that are currently in the chat, and then we'll have to define exactly how we want to interpret these signals about the temperatures in the room, and what they say about a potential consensus.
Yes, let's take those two questions, please.
Okay.
Use the
Thomas.
Green and
Thomas.
Who's that? Okay, because there has been a request Thomas. To ask two questions. Who's talking there?
Tijani.
Tijani, please keep it.
Tijani, yes. I'm sorry to repeat myself, but it is better to have a clear, as Alan said, very, very clear question, and we need, and we can have one question. Do you like no mention of human rights at this stage in the dialogues? Second, a mention of the human rights, but with the Greek language, second choice, and third choice, the mention of human rights with the original text. These are clear questions in one question, and everyone will pick one, only one choice, and it will be a very, very clear choice. If you put it as you are putting now, it will be the same confusion, and why we are doing this again. It was because there is a confusion, as Alan said. Thank you.
I think that Jordan has kept track of the questions to be asked, and he would like to offer some explanations, I guess. Jordan, over to you.
We can't ask the question the way that Tijani has suggested it, because what that does is it misleads, it splits the people who support some kind of human rights reference into two camps. So it's illegitimate to fold it into one question. I think that we should just ask the first question, which is the support or not, and then the second question is which of you prefer. And all we'll then know is what we think about those two questions. And I strongly suggest that we find out the answer to that, because we've been talking about doing so for the last 15 minutes. So I can paste the questions back into the chat, if you like, and that may help, because we're talking about something in box 8 of these mission commitments and core values right there. So it's a commitment in the Bible that we're talking about.
Okay, Jordan has put the questions into the chat. I'm going to read it out for the benefit of those who are just on the phone line. So the question is, first, do you want to see what is written? No, sorry. The this is a moving target because people continue writing in the chat box. Do you want to see human rights language in that box with an 8 and with the red text? So do you want to see language there? Second question is, do you prefer what is written there suggested by Keith, or do you prefer Greg's alternative? So let us please proceed and use the red or green ticks on the first question, which I repeat. Do you want to see some human rights language in that box with an 8 and with red text? And just to confirm, response to Robin, we will make a determination later what we're going to do with the results. So please use the tick boxes now. Do you want to see some human rights language in that box with an 8 and with the red text?
So now we are voting on Steve text, isn't it?
We haven't chosen text yet. This is on the concept of including some language.
Do you want to see human rights language in that box with an 8 with the red text? And the red text is, within its mission and its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. So in that box, do you want to see human rights language there? If yes, please tick green. If no, tick red.
Red cross from Tijani.
Red cross from Tijani?
I don't have Adobe Connect, that's why.
Mm-hmm. So that is 10 in favor and 5 against, including Tijani. So we do know that not everybody is still in the room. We're just keeping this to base our further recommendations on. So please clear your ticks now. And let's now move to the second question. Do you prefer what is written here suggested by, or would you prefer Greg's alternative? I would suggest that with, shall we divide that in two? Let me just check with Mathieu. Shall we go for Keith first?
I think what was asked for was a preference vote. So let's try a preference vote. That was the missing part in the first set of questions.
So we would say green for Keith and red for Greg.
What is Keith's proposal, please? What is Keith's proposal?
So let me read the Keith's proposal, and the Keith's proposal is green. So the green one is, within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect the fundamental human rights of the exercise of free expression and the free flow of information. That's the green. The red one is proposed by Greg Shatton, and it's, within its mission and in its operations, ICANN will be committed to respect internationally recognized fundamental human rights. Point. And
so, in this question, we don't give the chance to those who don't want neither one or the other to express themselves.
If you don't want either,
no.
I guess you're saying.
If people voted no
last
time,
the question is, which one you prefer?
If you cannot put a double question to the vote. You cannot put that. Do you prefer this? Do you prefer that? No, it is no. The alphabet of voting is no. One single question at one time. You cannot put double question. Do you prefer this? Do you prefer that? It's not correct. I don't know. How we invent this? Please.
please kindly consider. Never ever had one single text at one time. Yes or no? Thank you.
Just one second, please. We can... we are trying to determine whether there is a preference between the two choices, right? And therefore, we would like to see if people choose one over the other. And again, we will try to make sense out of the outcome of this. So what you can do is you can take red, you can take green for Keith's language, you can take red for Greg's language, and if you don't take anything, you show that you don't like any of the proposed languages, right? So green in favor of Keith, red in favor of Greg. If you don't vote, that shows your preference for neither of the languages. So please use the mechanism now or don't use it, and we will still take that into account. So we're now seeing that six individuals have favored, seven have favored Keith's language, 10 have favored Greg's language, and we will take the difference after we've heard what Tijani favored. Tijani, can we hear what your preference was?
Yes, I am not voting, so I am against any language. I said at this level, at this moment, and first in Workstream 1, I don't want to see anything in the bylaws.
Well, that's an indication of a preference for neither language. So I think that's already helpful. You can untick your boxes. So thank you for this. I think this helps us a great deal in determining which direction we might take. Again, we're not making any determination on this now, but we will get back to you with a suggestion. Grace has raised her hand.
Thomas, I'm sorry, but I was trying to take note in the notes of who had different ticks, and everyone took their ticks and crosses down, so I don't have any record of that.
Could you announce the results in favor of Greg and in favor of Keith?
I'm not sure whether it's already in the notes.
This is what I'm trying to say. I don't have the final results in the notes because the hands or the ticks, the crosses, were taken down before I could take all the names down.
Malcolm was observing this, and there were 8 in favor of Keith, 11 for Greg, and the remainder didn't participate.
Yes, thank you. Thanks.
So we can record that. Again, we're not making a determination out of this now. We will get back to the group tomorrow when we have analyzed this further. I do apologize for this having taken longer, but it's a particularly sensitive and important issue, and we want to make sure that we do best possible justice to all the views that are held inside this quite diverse group in this on this topic. So I think with that, we should with that, I'm just checking with my colleagues. Shall we do the IRP now?
Thomas, I would like to put on record that the chair has rejected continuously and consistently a proposal made for measuring the temperature. This is not fair, this is not correct, and this is not productive. I made a proposal, you did not put into the temperature measurement. You just put two others. That means you discriminating the proposals. This is not correct. I cannot announce that it is transparent, inclusive, and democratic. I was not treated democratically. I'm very sorry. I made a proposal 10 times. I ask you, please, kindly put my proposal to the temperature measurement. And it was not done. It is not fair. It is not correct. We should not do that. It was a